We know one of the things that mark a servant is obedience. We know the Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience, and he was perfectly obedient unto the Father's will in every way possible. It's the same servant who is given a signet. Mm-hmm. Signet is a place of honor, the highest honor that you can get. This servant will get that. But presently, he also has that honor. So it's not only a future thing, but presently he has the honor where no one has such an honor than this blessed man.
I got a question. I was noticing something there, and it wasn't as if he was given the signet ring. I will make you like a signet ring. I was looking at Darby. He will be made that. Any help with that? Because it's one thing to be given a signet ring, another to be made.
The signet is the authority of the person who owns it. And I will make thee the signet. You will be my representative to manifest my authority wherever you go. Why? I have chosen thee. This brings us back to what you were asking in chapter 42 of Isaiah. Mine elect. There's no other person that takes that place. He is God's chosen one. And he is the one who carries the authority that God has invested in me as man forever. But because he is the man of God's choice, he serves God even in that exalted place. Adam was given a place to serve God, but he did not. Even though he was the highest of God's creation here on earth, he did not. He fell victim. Well, I wouldn't say fell victim. He sinned. And the devil says to the Lord Jesus, I'll give you all this authority if you fall down and serve me. But there's only one person that the Lord Jesus serves. God. And he serves us because he is serving God. And here he says, I will make thee a signet, as a signet, for I have chosen thee. Now when people make a signet, they put in it the design they want. So they choose the design. I have chosen thee. He represents everything that is satisfying to God.
Could I ask a practical question? Today, you know, if you go, you need a Notary Public or somebody to stamp something that is authentic. Mm-hmm. Is that similar to what a signet ring would be like? Something that carries a stamp of approval?
Well, I know that in many places, they use the ring to put an impression so that it has the seal of the authority. Perhaps that covers what you're talking about.
I think this example is what Pharaoh gave to Joseph. Mm-hmm. That all that authority was vested in Joseph, mm-hmm, as what Pharaoh would want.
Go ahead, read it, brother. Read
it. I was going to read that same one when he was telling. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knees, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt.
And I think again the beauty of it, that Joseph, and there are two men actually that were giving a signet from a king. I'm going to leave the second one for you to think about it, but Joseph is one of them. The idea here is not even given a signet, and we touch on that, but him becoming the signet, the absolute authority. And I don't think we need to wait for the world to come to see that, because it's in the name of Jesus. That is the signet. I make thee a signet. It's in the name of Jesus we gather. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. That is the signet that today we could enjoy in that day to come. Yes, no one will lift up his hand or his foot without the signet, the absolute authority. But presently, it is the name of Jesus that is the signet.
If we have an example in Esther,
that's the second one, Mordecai.
Negative one, but in chapter 3, the idea is the king Ahasuerus gave his signet or his ring to Haggai, and he used it to send. He used it to send. Well, that's the other side of it. Before they used it to send letters to the kingdom, and
he gave it to Haman first, and then to Mordecai.
Yeah, but he used it in the wrong sense. But it was the king's authority was still there because he used the king's ring, and that's what we're talking about. The authority is transferred here, and it's in this case it's the most wonderful positive that it's just the Lord's Son Himself. He's represented as the Lord's Father Himself.
So he doesn't misuse the authority. He always uses it perfectly for the glory of God.
Could it be, before we, I'm sorry for cutting up. Oh, sorry. Could it be that the signet in the old use was because you needed to see something physical? Joseph had the authority, but out of the kingdom, you know, there could have been people, who's Joseph? Well, here, the signet, there, that's the authority. But now, with the Lord, there's no question. The authority, that is the authority.
Just very quickly, the signet, because if you look in other examples, the idea of a physical remembrance is common, because remember the groom told the bride, if you will, in the Song of Songs, set me as a seal upon thy heart and a seal upon thine arm. In Isaiah 49, he says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. So you have the heart, arm, hands, and fingers. So it's everything that encompasses this part of our body, and then the heart, which wills it. So all of that should have a remembrance of it, that it should be Christ that is doing everything for us.
Yeah, the focus is not on the ring, it's on the person. The person here is the Lord Himself. He is the mirror image, if you will, of the mind of God.
Just one thought the thought we might want to mention before we move on. Notice in verse 22, a series of I wills. I will, four times. Back also in chapter, earlier in the same chapter, I think it was, verses 7 and so on, I will shake and so on. Only God has the authority to say that. I will. Reminds me back in Isaiah 14, where Satan says, I will ascend, I will exalt, I will also do this, I will also sit, and so on. That only God, only the Lord has that right, power, to say, I will. And nobody else can say, nobody else in the universe can do that.
You would say, Brother Sam, this is the features of that coming world. There are two things, of course, the Lord will reign supreme and all these wonderful things. But there are two things that will be manifested in that coming world. The will of God, because when it comes to a new covenant and you read about it, you would read every time God said something, I would say, I will, I will. So what will be manifested is the will of God, and the second aspect is the knowledge of God. And that's why in Habakkuk or other places, that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. So when we think of that coming world, God's will dominate the scene. That everything Christ will do will be, let thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So the will of God will dominate the scene on earth and heaven. And the second aspect of it is the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God. And what a blessed day to come.
Don't you think that one of the biggest problems we have today is doing the will of God, submitting to His will. All of us, we have our own wills. I want to do this. I want to do that. The biggest challenge is to set aside what I want, to submit to the will of God.
I think it's very touching just to notice, without stating the obvious, who God says these words to. I mean, literally, he said the words to Haggai to pass them on to Zerubbabel. So God was speaking to Zerubbabel. But if we consider the type, it's the Godhead speaking to the Lord Jesus. I think we've got a real privilege in these verses here because we don't have very many other passages in the Bible where we see a communication or the communications that go on within the Godhead. Psalm 110, verse 1 is another example. Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand, and so on. Now, we don't want to sort of start mysticising about communications between the Godhead because they're things that we can't understand and they're not things that we have revealed to us, but I just think it is touching that we do have here revealed the thoughts of God or a communication from God to the Lord Jesus. We often talk about the counsels of God, the Lord being the delight of the Father and so on, but I think when we see something like this, it just brings before us the reality of that and that it's an ongoing thing that the Godhead always has its delight, every moment has its delight and desire in the Lord Jesus.
If we had a tender heart, I repeat, if we had a tender heart, wanted to do the will of God, we would ask the Lord day by day, that he would guide us by his Spirit. And let's listen to the Spirit's guidance.
Perhaps we would close this.